Incidentally, we've come to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to chapter 6, verse 9. I'm going to read them through for us. They won't come up on the screen because it is quite a long reading. Ephesians 5, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. There is so much in that passage. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your presence with us this morning. We thank you for reminding us of who you are, who you have made us in you, of the enormity of the power that is at work in our lives because of you. And as we look at your word, we ask you, Father, come and speak to us and help us to apply it to this 21st century world in which we live for your glory. Amen. Well, we've just celebrated the renewal of some wedding vows, and it would be very easy now to jump straight in to the second line, wives submit to your husbands, and just speak to Cheryl for the rest of the time. But that would so miss the point of what Paul is speaking about in this little passage. I often think that Ephesians 5:21, which reads, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, is one of the most missed verses in the Bible. And the reason that it's missed is because most of the English translations put it correctly after verse 20, but generally have a heading after it, wives and husbands. And so it reads in our Bibles so often as if it is a separate section, as if it applies back to do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Whereas actually, this line, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, is the main point of what Paul is going to make. And then he is going to apply it to different roles, how it works out in life. So to rightly understand what Paul is after here, we need to look just at the major themes very quickly of the letter that Paul is writing about. So he's talking about unity. I'm going to go through this very quickly. In chapter 1, verse 10, he talks about the goal is to bring all things under heaven and earth under one head, even Christ. And throughout the letter, he's going to be talking about unity. And he will be talking about unity between husbands and wives, unity between masters and servants, unity between children and parents. He talks about another theme, diversity. 4:11, some are apostles, some are prophets, some are evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. And he will, as you go through the letter, he is constantly showing there is great diversity in the body of Christ. There's diversity in the way, in where people have come from in terms of their past life. Some were rich, some were poor, some were terribly in need, some felt like they had everything in life. But God has brought that together. Some are very bright academically, some are less bright academically, but are much brighter in living often. Just throw that one out there. Another theme, grace. We're not saved because of what we do. We're not saved. We don't come to know Jesus because of who we are. We come to know Jesus because Jesus stepped down onto the earth, lived, died, rose again, and ascended into heaven. And God has been looking across humanity and saying, I'll have that one. I'll have that one. I'll have that one. And revealing himself to us. And if you're here today, God is wanting to reveal himself to you, as Ginny said. But it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't, you know, we could have quite an interesting conversation with all the things that we've done in this room. And we may look pretty good scrubbed up like this, but years ago, we weren't scrubbed up like this. I certainly wasn't. I was in holy jeans, pink t-shirt, flowery patterns, with a bottle in my hand. That was me. I lied. I was a good liar because I didn't get caught. It's like people say, are you a good criminal? Well, if you're a good criminal, you don't get caught, do you? So nobody knows. Anyway, just throw that one out there for... It doesn't matter what we've done, because it's about the favor of God on humanity reaching into our lives and forgiving us freely because of what Jesus has done. And then Ephesians 5:1. Be imitators of God as dearly loved children. So it's talked about unity, diversity, the favor of God, and now this is what God has made you. Now live it. Doesn't matter where you've come from, you are now a saint. You used to be, as it were, a sinner. Now you are a saint. Not because you've managed to walk across the room from sinner to saint, but because Jesus has picked you up, washed you, cleansed you by the power of the cross, and placed you over here. It's not about what we've done. So unity, diversity, grace, live what you are. And then fifthly, he's talked a lot through this letter about order. Things like, I'm an apostle of Christ. I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 3, verse 14, he writes, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name, and I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And all through the letter, you find the glorious mystery of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Spirit. One God, yet three. Now, if there's anyone in the room that can explain that, please come forward now. We can't. But who wants a God you can explain? I want a God that is bigger than me. I want a God that to some degree I can't understand, because it means he understands things that I can't understand. Now, I want a God that I know, and I know that I know God, and I know things about him, and I know a little bit about the Trinity, but I can't explain him because God is bigger than me. Hallelujah. And that's what we're looking for. And this Trinity has some order, where the Father sends the Son, who sends the Spirit. Jesus, when he was walking on earth, he said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. When I send the Spirit, I will tell him to reveal everything to you. And there is order throughout the book of Ephesians. And it's important that we understand that. And Paul has been talking about how we have been taken from over here to over here and built into a new community, a new people of God in the earth, made up of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And he's been talking about that unity. So in chapter 4, pardon me, verses 1 to 6, he says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the bond of unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. So he's been talking about diversity, unity, favor, and order. And in the last 3 weeks or so, Paul has been challenging us through this letter he's written to live a life worthy of the calling that we've received, to be imitators of God, and as Ben reminded us last week, to put off what was over here and to put on what is over here. To move from darkness to light, from being unwise to wise, to not to be drunk, but to be filled with the Spirit. To recognize that we've been transferred from this place to this place by the favor of God. And then he comes to submit. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, I've got to say, I've had a lot of fun over the years as a pastor with the word submit. For a certain generation, some of which will apply here, the word submit conjures up Saturday afternoons watching slightly overweight men throw each other round a square ring until one of them gave up and said, I submit. And it involved sitting there in the front room with your granny, who for some unknown reason was very excited about watching two slightly overweight men throw each other round a ring. And then you move through the sort of out of the 60s and 70s into the 80s, when, quite rightly, the ladies of Britain began to say, hang on a minute, we should have a bit more voice in society. And so you move into the, what does this word submit mean? Now, during the sort of 90s and 2000s, I married a lot of women to their husbands. And used to have quite fun with them, really, because there were the sort of Christian radical feminists. And in the church that we were at the time, we let people write their own vows. And they'd come and see Leslie and I, and you'd sit down and you'd go, okay, have you got your vows? And you get the radical Christian women. Yes, I've got my vows. We're not saying obey. you look at them and say, okay, fine with that. And then you'd get the sort of obedient Christian women who would come in and say, I'd rather not say obey. And yeah, okay, no worries there. And then you get the very timid, whose potential husbands would say, is there any chance we cannot use the word obey when we come to our vows? And sometimes, depending on how much of a silly mood I was in, I would just play along a little bit and say, well, why don't you want obey? And I'd come up with all sorts of reasons. Well, in this day and age, women shouldn't need to obey their husbands. All sorts of things, you know. Oh, we think it should be submit, not obey. And so few of them would actually say, well, because in the Bible it says, wives, submit to your husbands. It doesn't say obey. And so it was really funny with the really radical sort of staunch, we're not going to say obey, women. You just say, yeah, I'm fine with that. I agree with you. It's like, what? I thought you were a pastor. It was like that in those days. And it comes out of a basic misunderstanding of what the word submit means. Submit is a willing choice to follow the leadership, advice, the suggestion of someone other than yourself, despite not agreeing with them. Okay, I'm going to read that again. Submit. It is the willing choice to follow the leadership, advice, the suggestion of someone other than yourself, despite not agreeing with them. It is the willing choice. And if you agree with someone, you don't have to submit to them because you agree with them. There has to be an element of disagreement. But you choose to follow their leadership. See, verse 21 could be read like this. Be willing not to force your own way on everyone, but be willing to be led out of reverence for Christ by the others. Because Jesus chose to submit to his Father, choose to follow the example of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Just a few nods. Have you no idea what you're saying? What I'm saying? Just shake your head. All right. So here, Paul is saying, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, there is a downside to this. Because if we all submit to one another, nothing happens. You know what it's like? Les, what film shall we watch tonight? You choose. No, you choose. No, you choose. No, you choose. Shall we phone a friend? As a group of you. Where shall we go out tonight? Oh, I don't know. You choose. No, 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 you choose. Generally, at that point, I think I'm going home. There is a danger if we all just submit to one another, we get into a quagmire of absolute nothingness. Because no one makes any decisions. So how do we work out this submit to one another? And I would like to say there are four ways of deciding how to submit. It's about the character of the person, the gift of the person, the proven track record of the person, and the role of the person. So, last Monday, Peter Robinson, Mike Swift, and I met. And we met to talk about the audiovisual of Open Door. So how does submitting work in this? I've ummed and ahed about using this illustration, but I'm going to. So I could go to that meeting as the big cheese. I'm an elder, and I lead the team. Therefore, I know what we need. Because I'm the leader, I'm the big cheese, that's it. Peter and Mike can come, and I will inform them of what is to happen next with regard to our audiovisual. Let's just have a little think about this. Have I got the character to make any decisions on this? Probably I have. I will look for what is best for the church. So what do I want? I want us to be able to see better, and I want us to be able to hear very, very well. I've got, my character is, I love this church, I want it to prosper, I want us to do things well, I want us to move on in the kingdom of God. So yes, I could make the decisions. Do I have a gift for audiovisual PA? See, I know in audiovisual language what a jack is. Some of you don't even know what a jack is. It plugs in to one of these. What it does and which one it plugs into, I have no idea. Do I have the wisdom and proven track record? Well, in some ways, I have a proven track record, not particularly here, but in other places, of improving the PA. We've moved from, this really dates me, and some of you don't even know what they are, but you used to have these little screens here with a piece of plastic on with words, and they'd project up onto the screen. I improved it by going from handwritten pieces of plastic to bits that were printed bits of plastic. Then we moved on, and we got a screen rather than a cream wall. And we went on, and then we got projectors and screens, and then we got tellies and all sorts of things. So yeah, I can add something there. But what is my role? Well, I'm an elder of the church. We talked about it as elders. We have a sort of rough budget for it. So I can bring some character. I can bring very little gifting. I can bring a little bit of wisdom, and I have a role to play in it. But when it came to the actual discussion, my main contributions were, actually, Mike, there is no way we can spend $4 million making sure we have the best PA. Actually, Pete, I know you would like us to buy a really good guitar, but that's out of it for the moment. But tell me, if we have this amount of money, what can we do? And so we talked. And there is mutual submission. I don't come in as a big cheese and say, I'll tell you what to do, because I don't know what needs doing. They don't come in and say, Dave, we're not going to do anything unless we've got this amount of money. We have a discussion where there is mutual submission to one another. And that mutual submission is worked out according to our character, gift, our wisdom, and our role. Do you understand that? And Paul is arguing and stating and encouraging us to be those who submit to one another as people of God, recognizing that we have a fundamental unity in God. We have very diverse personalities, characters, and gifts, but we are working together to build the church, and all of us have a role to play. And as we do that, and as we listen to one another according to our characters, gifts, our wisdom, and our roles, we will work together to build the church and extend the kingdom of God as we are looking for. Have you got that? So if you're leading in Sunday school, you have a role. And it's not my job to come and tell you this is what you should be doing. It's us as elders, our role is to provide the environment whereby you can flourish as you lead the team, whether it's musicians, whether it's welcome, whether it's stewarding, whether it's youth, whether it's the Sunday school, whether it's tiddlywinks, whether it's serving coffee. Our role is to provide the environment, which is where Paul goes as he speaks later on to husbands and their wives. Jesus wants to husbands love, this is verse 25, husbands love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present to her himself a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Jesus's desire for us as a church, as a worldwide church, is to be the best. And when Paul writes, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, he is encouraging us all to bring our gifts, our character, our roles, our wisdom to the table. Have you got that? He is actually bringing release, not oppression. So when Paul goes on to say, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, he is saying to, he's in continuing writing his letter, he's saying, look, let's submit to one another. Now, this is how we work it out in the world in which we live. Wives, submit to your husbands. Willingly choose to accept their leadership. But because we're short of time, what he's also saying to the husbands is, husbands, produce the best environment for your wives that they can flourish. What is it that will help your wife grow? Now, in actual fact, Leslie and I, we've had over the years a lot of discussions. Some of them very long, some of them very loud. But actually, in reality, there's only been a couple of times where at the end of all our discussions, one of us has had to make a choice. And at that point, Leslie would say, Dave, you've got to make the choice. Because I am going to submit to your leadership. I believe God has made you my husband. I believe that he has made you my leader in that. And I am going to trust God that he is going to give you the right decision. It's probably happened two, three times maybe. No, I don't think you said that. No, Leslie just said that. She didn't say all of that. She would have said it much better with much bigger words and much longer. And I think it's probably only two or three times we've had to do that. And I've gone once with me, and actually once I went with Leslie's. Because when I weighed up everything, I wasn't quite confident enough in my own. I said, I'll go with Leslie. your way. And the other one I can't remember. No. Leslie submitted to my decision, but my decision was to go with her. My decision wasn't necessarily, Leslie's got to submit to me, therefore I'll choose what I, it's going to be my way or no way. Do you understand what I'm after here? Because submission is not about giving in. Submission is, in my case, saying, I've got to make the decision here. I'm going to go with Leslie's. If this turns out bad, it's my responsibility. I can't have a go at Leslie. In the same way, when Leslie said, you make the decision and I chose my way, she couldn't then, if it had gone wrong, come back at me all the time and said, you made a mistake. Because submission is willingly choosing to say, actually, I'm going to follow you. And I believe, in the context of being Christians, that God is going to lead us on the decision you make as a husband. You got that? And it shows up most clearly when Paul then talks about children. Because he says to children, children, obey your parents. Now what's interesting is that Paul writes that in a letter, was expecting the letter to be read at church, so would have expected the children to be in to hear the letter. It's interesting, isn't it? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. He doesn't say to the children, submit. He says, obey. Because there is a huge difference between submission and obey. And the culture at 13, a child moves from being a child to an adult. So Paul is saying, children, basically, if you're under 13, you obey your parents. You don't have to choose whether you're going to submit to the parents' request to tidy your bedroom. You do it. This is not about choosing, this is about obedience. But that is not true. I mean, just let's have a show of hands here. How many people in this room are children? Think about it. Just put your hand up if you're a child. If you have a parent of some sort, all of us are children. At some point in our lives, we have been a child. Paul goes on, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And he's separating an age here. Children under 13, you obey. As children, older children, you honor your parents. If I was perfectly obedient to my dad, I would not have been allowed to be a Christian. Now, I honor my dad, but I chose to believe God. If Leslie was obedient to her dad, she would not be married to me now. It took me about nearly 15 years to gain real acceptance from Leslie's dad. He sort of grew to like me, eventually. But we honor our parents, but we don't necessarily have to obey them as adults. You understand that? Again, it's important. We'll deal with this very quickly. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. When Paul talks about slavery here, he is not talking about the slavery that is so prevalent in today's world. Slaves, played an integral part of Roman society. They were actually often very much part of the family. They were often very well looked after. And Paul is able to say, you know, you do your work well, masters, you treat them well. But he is not using the term slave there in terms of the slavery that we hear so much about today and which we should stand against and fight. And I don't want in any way to give the impression that I'm saying if you've been entrapped, ensnared in slavery, then be obedient. You get out of it if you can. And it's much more applicable to how we do our work in the secular world. Because this whole passage in terms of wives and husbands, children and slaves and masters is fundamentally about how we live in the world, not what we do on Sunday mornings. And so he's saying, workers, serve your masters. Masters, treat your servants well, because there is a master in heaven who is holding you to account to how you treat your workers. That's fundamentally what he's saying there. So, there is so much in that passage that we haven't looked at, but the main thrust of this morning was to recognize that we are to be those who submit to one another in faith out of reverence for Christ, and that that submission should release us to use our gifts, our wisdom, to bring our character and our roles to bear on the life that we live. As a church, we want to continue to grow in honoring one another, being real with one another, having faith in one another, being generous with one another, and having fun with one another, enjoying being together, having fun. We will multiply that as we learn increasingly and grow in submitting to one another and recognizing people's roles, gifts, character, and wisdom, bringing that to play across the whole church so that we together actually are building one another up into the great temple of the dwelling place of God that he wants Open Door to be, that will spread out across Northamptonshire and will reach out across the world, fulfilling the vision and the passion he has in our heart, his heart for us as his people. And all he says is submit to one another out of reverence for Christ and work that out in all the different roles in which we live. Let's stand and pray. Father, we are your children, and we are so glad to know you. We are so glad to know that you have rescued us, that you've reached down and changed our lives. And God, we say, whatever the trials and the challenges of that, has been for the better, without a doubt. We love you. And we ask you, Father, to help us to walk as your children of light. Help us to grow in our love for one another, our faith in one another. Help us to know how to submit to one another out of reverence for you, Lord Jesus, who submitted so willingly, so freely, so wonderfully to the Father's will. A will that led you to death on the cross, to resurrection, to ascension into heaven, and the birth of your glorious bride, of which we are a part, and we want to be a part, and we want to be a bride that is holy, blameless, spotless, and flourishing before you. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 Great. You just want to take your seats, a couple of notices, and then we will finish. Okay? So the first one is more general. It's not just about today. And photography. So obviously you saw David taking photographs of Michael and Cheryl. But the thing is, often sometimes others of us, we get our phones out and we take photographs. As the church grows, there are some reasons sometimes that some people's photograph shouldn't be on the internet. You may not know that. So can I just ask that as adults, if you're going to take photograph, we can't stop you, but always be aware who's in the photograph, and it would be best of all if you're going to ask permission to do it. If it's just like general, we're sitting chatting at the back, always be aware, can I check, and especially children. There are reasons sometimes why children shouldn't be posted up. Sometimes we have public events, and like this morning, we've got a photographer, or maybe the kids were doing something up front. And again, it's a really delicate area. We've been working with Joe, Dave and I as trustees, just looking about how we can keep people safe, respect your privacy, and at the same time, hey, we're family and we like taking pictures. And so just walk with us on that one. And so the other thing is just the room's going to be cleared. The coffee will be upstairs in the Sunday school room. So I suggest parents, first of all, you make a beeline for the back and pick your children up, because there's going to be 100 people also coming up the stairs as well. And so best of all, parents, one parent, if you can go now to fetch your children. Tea and coffee for everyone will be upstairs in the party place. Follow the stairs at the front of the building. Tiddlywinks also, if you can fetch. I know there'll be some folks setting up this room. Please take your bags, purses, handbags. Okay, Gareth, handbag. Don't forget. And bless you. Have a great morning.